You're listening to To Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life. Welcome back to another episode of To Become a Family. We're your hosts, Renzo and Monica Ortega, and this is episode 106, according to Monica. But I don't know. I don't remember.
Don't keep track.
Nope. I just put the numbers later. Later tonight. This is going to be great. So we are recording the night before we release the episode because we are so committed and we plan so well for...
Hoping that ADHD hyperfocus kicks in right now with procrastination.
You're just using me for my biology.
I am, because my migraine yesterday prevented us from recording when we usually do. So it was my fault.
Glad you acknowledge that.
Hopefully this will help you be successful.
Yeah. So I'm excited because we are in a new stage of life now.
Yes.
I officially hit puberty. And we're these are not planned. The things I say are never planned.
I'm just glad you didn't say, like, I hit menopause or something like
that's
that.
That's next.
That's the next. Yeah. Anyways.
I know. So we finally have a kid in double digits.
Yep.
And we have a new toilet.
So new stage.
New.
Those are really important.
I learned how to fix toilets because our basement flooded.
Oh, and that was awful.
Yes.
That was awful. We came down after bedtime. You had come down to like...
To get my whoop.
To get something. Yes, to get your whoop band. And you heard the toilet running. Or no, you just like walked into the kitchen.
I walked and my foot was instantly wet and cold.
So there was water in the living room towards the kitchen. And then I went downstairs to go get...
Towels.
Beach towels. Mm-hmm. At first, you were going to send me upstairs for bath towels. I was like, oh, I'll get beach towels.
Good thing I did. A giant straw would have done great. No.
Oh, gosh.
Like, no. And then everything was soaked. Troubleshooting with a couple of buddies of mine of like, what could this be? So I just changed every possible seal around the toilet.
Yep.
In the toilet, on the toilet, behind the toilet.
Under the toilet.
Everything.
So far, so good.
And I've never done that before. I did not grow up like in a handy house, like learning how to do things. So homeownership has really forced me to learn how to do things.
Our budget.
That is true. So just figuring out how to do things. Like I still have
micro cuts.
Well, that I have soft hands. No. Yeah. I started cutting my hand on things. No, like the grooves of your hands get like from like the soot and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's still there. I promise I washed my hands, but like. Still there.
It's
going to be with me forever.
Yeah, and you also know how
it's
to...
It's a man tattoo.
Oh, I like that.
Man too. Sorry, that's not a thing. Keep going.
You also know how to replace the drum, like the band in the dryer.
Yeah, around the drum. Yeah, that's because we put too much clothes in there.
Thank you, YouTube, for all of your wisdom.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And this is also on YouTube. So like, comment, subscribe if you're on YouTube.
If you like
right
our
now.
Wisdom.
And then we also had a child turn 10. Mm-hmm. So we're officially parents of a kid in double digits.
So we have parented for a decade now.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Sorry.
Yeah. Ugh. Just like my heart.
Yeah. Not
he's
baby.
He's 10.
Not
no,
a baby.
He's not a baby. Anyways,
unless he skizzes his knee, then. It's a baby. It's ridiculous.
Bad dream.
So one of the things that author Joel Stepanek actually said in one of his books. What was the book that you read this in? You don't even know what I'm going to say, so
no.
I don't know how you would know what book.
I'm waiting for the line first.
About not giving advice unless you're into something for 10 years.
Chasing Humility?
No, it wasn't. It was in like another one. Starting Again. Start free.
I don't know. Sorry, Joel. I have no idea what you're saying.
You reviewed it.
What?
Starting Well. Yeah.
Oh.
You remember that now?
Sorry.
All right. Well, he wrote a book.
Yes.
Joel Stepanek, who
We really love. He says great things.
He does. He wrote a book called Chasing Humility. That's not the book I'm talking about. I'm pretty sure he wrote a book about starting well and like doing things. And he was talking about couples who give marriage advice before they reach 10 years of being married, and how that's like, if you should always take that advice with a grain of salt, because there's just so much you don't know. And this is something I learned, is just getting older. It's like, you don't know what you don't know. Like, mm-hmm. And then there's so many things that I've talked about on this show that like my master's,
didn't know.
Well, no, like in different areas of my life, like my master's program, like having a master's in theology doesn't mean at least in my mind, I know a lot of theology. It means that I'm more aware of what I don't know about theology. Mm-hmm. So I can't just claim things and be like, this is the only way to look at something. Cause I've learned more about theology. Like I've forgotten more about theology than you know about theology, if that makes sense. Just because like you haven't gone through a program that like makes you learn all these different mm-hmm. things. That's a Coach Seth thing. He used to be like, I forgot more about basketball than you'll ever know in your life. And he used to say that to the kids. But like you just learn so much, and in learning in the program, I'm like, man, there's just so much I don't know. Cause like I can definitely appreciate a PhD in anything, mm-hmm. Theological studies, because like you had to learn so much to get there. And I'm not even close to that. So like similarly with marriage, like there's just so much you don't know in your first 10 years. Like you think you know what you're doing. And then even after the first few years and you're like, oh, things are going pretty well. Like you still think you know what you're doing, but, and well enough that you feel like you can give advice about things. And like, you got to take that advice with a grain of salt if you're on the receiving end, because mm-hmm. there's just so much you don't know.
Yes. And in fairness, because we started this apostolate before we hit 10 years of marriage, we started it
at nine.
Okay. Nine. And we had been together. We'd been together a long time. But also a lot of it was, we don't know a lot, but like, here's what the church says about marriage.
Yes. That's what we needed, 2 years to have St. John Paul teach things. And I was like, oh, we can talk now.
No, we can say some things about what we didn't know.
No. Well, one thing that I think if you are under 10 years of marriage and you want to share advice, I think it's important to share like your experiences, so like your stories, what things worked for you, and then let others have an opportunity to like have a discussion with their beloved and like,
yes,
what things work for us, like yeah. listening to them. And I think that like the young couples that we worked with at Pre-Cana, I think they do that really well, mm-hmm. of like, this is the advice we'd give based on our experience and the yeah. things that we've gone through. This works for us.
Yep.
And then allows other people to kind of come in. And so they're not saying it authoritatively, but I think they're sharing from their experience. Yeah. So I think there's a significant difference.
I agree.
But like there are people out there, and I know there's a ton on social media who they've barely been married, and they're like, this is how to be a parent. This is how to be a husband or wife. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you don't know what you don't know yet. And then you got to be careful with that kind of advice.
Yep.
So that's why we also never jumped into like giving parenting advice. Like I know we did a couple of Q&As and like people asking us questions about how we parent. Mm-hmm. But we thought today, like, and to celebrate being parents for 10 years. Yeah. And like, now I think we can start sharing about some of the things we did as parents or do as parents. Cause people have asked us about that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that too is, I want to come with a disclaimer of like, one, some of this has come from people asking us how we mm-hmm. do certain things. Whether that's from seeing our family in action, and like, how did you get to that point?
That's a way to put it.
Family in action.
In like, distress, in disarray, in
chaos. But like, how did you just like get to this point? And then also, I don't know. People think because we have five that we know more. I don't know. I guess part of this is like, I want to offer the disclaimer that this is how we do things in our home and within our family. And we're not parenting experts, and this is not absolutely what you should 100% do in your own home as well. But we love to start conversations, so hopefully
this will say, like, it's worth having the conversation though yes. with your spouse.
So like, here we will present, and then you guys talk about it. Like, do you think that could work in your home with your kids, mm-hmm. With the dynamics that you have, and go from there.
And the things we're going to talk about, we did not discuss beforehand.
Nope, because we never talk about this before. We just press record.
Then it's more authentic. It's so real. So one thing. So let's come up with 10 things.
10 things we learned about parenthood in 10 years.
I don't know. No. 10 things that we do.
10 things we do
that we think work. Because like, if we learned about parenthood, like, I suck. That's not. That's not worth sharing.
All done.
So one thing that I think is I'm going to be hyperbolic about all these. This is so important. This is the most important thing. You're
always hyperbolic. You're never tempered. Somebody's awake.
Pause. Definitely bad. Is that has fair. What's the thing that Michael Scott does? Oh, like he just talks about, like David Wallace asks him what works. He's like, sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes I always, without a doubt, absolutely would recommend that you should totally do the thing that I do every time.
All right. So one thing that we do and we've done consistently with all our kids, and I think it's worked out really well, is that we follow through on things.
Elaborate.
So like if we say to the kids, for example, one of the things like that we've gotten complimented before is that they're very polite, right? So the kids are polite. And that does great.
Our little chipmunk voice son. Excuse me. But, Amy, excuse me.
So one of the things like we've been very big on all of them. Like you can't just interrupt. Yes. And,
though their excuse me's can feel like interruptions.
Yeah, but like, so like one thing is always like, you have to excuse me, then wait your turn. You have to excuse me, wait your turn. And I think a lot of this comes from my stubbornness, but like, so that means every single time that they come and interrupt, they hear, say, excuse me, then wait your turn. And if they interrupt again, then we say the same thing. And then we ignore them for a long period. Like their turn gets to the back of the line or whatever their turn was. But like we've been very consistent in following through with like that kind of thing. So that means even if like we are at a party with friends and we're in the middle of conversation and like it's easier to just like shoo them away or answer the thing quickly and then let them go, like we would stop what we're doing to be like, say excuse me, then wait your turn. And then like start, and then in the middle of what we were doing for our leisure, like, no, let's parent now.
Yeah.
Right. Or even if like we, I don't know, any opportunity that we had to like let it go so that we don't have to be bothered by it. Mm-hmm. Stubbornly, I think we've always followed through. So this could be like, we said no dessert.
Yep.
And we said no dessert because you lost dessert because of this reason. We will follow through to points that can seem like, man, can't you just let them have one? Like, no, we can't because we said you'll lose dessert. And we have to follow through on that. So like there's a lot of occasions where we don't bend for things.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's important about what you just said about being consistent and following through is also setting the expectations as clearly as possible ahead of time.
That's different. That's number two.
Oh, okay.
So let's stick to number one. Just following through.
Okay. Follow through. Yes.
You give examples. Well, because like pretty sure we could like lead into it. A bunch of different things from just this
week. Yeah, sure. So just last week, we every week go to this like science class at our local museum. Mm-hmm. And one of the rules of the museum is not to run in the museum, which is very logical and reasonable of them to do. And my kids were really excited and they felt like they were 30 seconds late for the class. So they busted in the doors while I'm telling them to wait for mommy in the parking lot and ran to the room that they normally go to. And so we left the museum. Like I got them, I gathered them and I said, we're leaving. Why? Because the rule of the museum is that you should not run and you know that. And so we have to leave because you didn't follow a museum rule.
And that must have made your day harder because you didn't get to do the thing you were planning on doing and the thing that they were planning on doing. But like the follow through for that, and like there's just so many different opportunities that I know that in the last however many years of parenting all of them, like we'll follow through on all these little things so that they know that if we say something, like we mean it. That doesn't mean that like you have to use your manners only once in a while when we feel like it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to follow the rules only once in a while when mom and dad are looking. Like, no, this is an all the time thing.
And it matters like out in public and in the home too. Like that interrupting and the politeness and manners and safety rules, like being consistent so that they understand, like, it's not just so that we look good in front of other people and you could be different at home. Like, no, that it's consistent wherever we go. Mm-hmm.
And then you can go with number two with what you were saying.
Sure. So before being consistent about your follow through is setting clear expectations ahead of time so that they know.
Clear and digestible for them. Okay. Like age, not age, like worded in age appropriate ways. Yeah. Like clear can mean like it could be clear to me, but unclear to them.
Sure. Yes. So setting the expectation, making sure it's age appropriate and that they understand it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. so that they know, like, here's what you're expected to do.
Keep going.
Thank you for using your manners and waiting your turn.
This is manners. No, this is self-control.
That they understand so that when you make corrections, they can see what they were, they knew what they were supposed to do.
Well, like for, in terms of age appropriate, this is where I was interrupting. So like for our 5-year old, we'll say, you have to say, excuse me, and wait your turn. And like, you know that, like if you see mommy and daddy talking, like that's the expectation. But for like our 10-year-old, our now 10-year-old, it's like, you have to pick up on the tone that we have, pick up on the body language, pick up on what's happening around you.
Yes.
Because is this a time, and then consider, what are you asking about? Like, is this a time to interrupt with this thing? Like, yes. Is somebody bleeding? Yes. You just want to know about what time are we going to this thing? You can wait 5 more minutes and you don't even have to say, excuse me. Cause now you like, so like,
yes.
Like that's
age. For him to start learning, like, that we're having a serious conversation and you asking about, like, are we having ice cream for dessert is really poorly timed. Mm-hmm. So don't even come in and ask that question.
Nope.
Don't say, excuse me, and wait your turn. That can wait until later.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like, our expectations for their behavior at mass is different.
Per age. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So,
but they're clear, like they know what they are though beforehand.
Correct. Right. So for example, our 5-year-old, I'm not expecting him to always be facing forward or not talking. So his expectations are to whisper because he's going to have things to say and that his body posture should match everybody else's. So when everyone's kneeling, you should be kneeling. When everyone's standing, you should stand, sit. But I'm fully understand that your head is going to be wandering around. You're going to be looking all over the place. You're going to ask a bunch of questions. So you need to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Like you need to do it whisperingly. Whereas our 8-year-old, he's expected to say all the prayers and he's expected to be listening during readings and during homily and things like that. Mm-hmm. If he has a question, it should be about mass, not about something that's happening outside of mass or somebody that he sees.
And we also did we also had clear expectations for when like this, the group that is now 10, 8, 6, like when they were 3, 2, I don't know, the math is wrong now, 4, 2, and 1.
Yeah.
Like I know we did, we did snacks for anyone under 3, was it? Anyone under 3 could have like Cheerios.
Yep.
But then once 3 or once 4 hit,
once
they lost snacks.
It was actually 4.
Yeah. So once they got to 4, they could not have snacks anymore. So like that was an expectation and they just knew like at 4 is when you can't have snacks anymore. But 3, you can ask for your Cheerios and you can have that to occupy you. We haven't had to do that with the little one now.
The younger two, they stopped having snacks when the middle one turned 4.
Yeah.
We just stopped.
Those things were explained to them. And I know it could seem like it's young to explain those kind of things, but I think that back to like our follow through in, so with our follow through and expectations, like this was happening since like 2,
these kinds of conversations,
age appropriate, but like there's an expectation of like, you're not allowed to do this and we're going to just consistently stick at this. Eventually it's going to stick of like, so like running out of the pews.
Yes. Like none of them have ever been allowed to do that. That's like the boundary for
once he leaves the pew. Our 5-year-old just bolts.
Yes, that's true. After mass.
No, even go to the bathroom. I have to like hold my hand because he's like, why? Because you're going to run. I'm not going to run. You're going to run. And you're not. but they know not to leave the pew. So like I can give them a look and be like, okay, don't go.
Yep.
And they know I'm not going to leave the pew. But that was an overtime thing. Like we used to have to sit in the pews, like the two of us
bookends.
On either bookend, so that they can't just run.
These are the boundaries. Yeah.
But like, again, then driving to mass and explaining to them, like, you're not going to leave the pew today. Mm-hmm. And then having those conversations and then following through once we get there, letting them know that there's going to be a consequence if you do leave the pew. If they do leave the pew, then the consequence happens.
Yes. And you follow through on that.
The younger they are, the closer to the time that the thing. So, like, if you can't tell your 3-year-old you're going to lose something later that day,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So, like, it has to be something that they can lose immediately so they can be like, oh, okay, I can connect these two things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
That's two things.
So expectations and follow through so far.
Yeah.
Number 3.
Do I have to come up with it?
I just did expectations.
Number 3. What else do we do with our children? they have to speak kindly to one another. Mm-hmm. That is not negotiable. like, I don't care. And maybe this isn't kind of the way I'm saying this. But like, I don't care how upset you are. And I don't care what they did to you. Like, you're not allowed to yell at your sibling. And that's very clear in the house. And like, not even like,
they can raise their voices at one another.
If but they're in different rooms, but like, they can't just yell at each other.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Like, get in somebody's face and shout.
Yes. Yeah. No, but like, sometimes when they're upset with the other sibling, they'll just yell their name.
Yes.
And I cannot, no, you're not telling them, especially the yell at the younger ones. Like, yes. You're not giving them direction. You're just yelling their name.
Yes.
They don't know what you want. But also like, they can't, like, there's times where like, they'll give sass to one another of like, and make them feel like, you know, the kids do, like, say things to like kind of put them down. Like, you're making people feel less than, and like, I'm very sensitive to that. Like, you can't do that. You are not allowed to do that.
That came largely because we did a very poor job.
We were terrible older siblings. Like, we were
really awful. Mean. We were really mean.
Yes. Like, we were so bad.
So rightfully so, our siblings don't like us. Like,
yes.
So,
no. I think more of the like, they see that the people we are now are very different than the people they grew up with.
Yes.
And
that's hard to reconcile.
Sorry.
So we try to avoid that future conflict.
Because usually that's the way like it trickles downstream, right? Like the dung goes downhill.
Yes.
It's not dung. Scubala. But like, the older siblings usually are harder on the younger siblings. Mm-hmm. So like, usually it's them that have to be kinder to the going downwards.
Yep. But we have the same expectation for the younger ones, the older ones. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be kind to them.
Yes.
Yeah. And where it, maybe this is number four, or it's not, I don't know. You corrected me last time. So this is either 3.5 or it's number four. But the only thing that siblings are allowed to quote unquote boss each other around on is safety.
Yes.
So we really try hard that our older siblings are not like second parents to the younger ones, that like, they should not be telling them what to do. Like, you're supposed to be putting your laundry away. That's not your job. That's not your business. That's between mommy and daddy and that child.
Yep.
So the only thing they're allowed to like tell them what to do is if it's something like safety wise, don't cross the street, you know, or something like that, where they could get hurt and the situation needs to be addressed immediately. But all other like non-rule following, or something's annoying, or that's not the way it should be done, is to be handled between parent and kid instead of sibling and sibling.
I like that.
Another thing that we do.
That could have been four.
Okay. That was number four.
But just, I guess it could be part of three. No. Could be part of three.
Let's see how creative we are if we need it for number four.
I'm already losing steam.
Okay.
What else we do?
Number four. Now real number four?
Sure.
Okay. Number four. We snuggle our kids to sleep.
Ooh.
So we've done that.
We did that. We've done that with all of them.
Every kid. Every kid. And then.
Look how well rested I look.
Yeah. So we snuggled our oldest to sleep every night when second.
So what does that mean?
Okay. So we.
Define terms.
Well, I mean, when they were.
Are you sitting up straight?
Not really, probably.
You're shorter than
slouching.
Look how big I look.
I mean, when they. When they were babies, that was me like nursing them to sleep. Mm-hmm. But then. So we transitioned our kids to beds.
Really,
mattresses
early.
On the floor very early.
Kobe got it at like two.
No, he got a bed Thanksgiving. So he was like 18 months.
Do we have Jim Paul then? No. Oh, no. He was just happy with his own bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
So
he was just so excited to show everybody.
Yes.
It was a little trundle bed. Keep going.
So we work hard on being consistent in our own lives as well with interrupting. So we transitioned them really early. So when baby number two came, Renzo would like lay in the bed or next to the bed with number one.
Lay in the foot of the bed, yeah.
And I would take care of the baby. And then when number three came.
Until they fell asleep, and then I'd go to my bed.
Yes. So we don't co-sleep. We don't share a bed. I mean, if they have nightmares or they're sick, they end up in our bed. But they start out in their own bed. And we like lay with them until they fall asleep and then we sneak out. So once a third person came into the mix, that oldest one transitioned to not having a parent snuggle them. They were allowed to like wait until the younger two fell asleep, and then mommy and daddy would check on them. And sometimes you would like lay with them.
Yeah.
So now our youngest.
I remember when that was like, I remember when we got to this house, and I think we had, no, they had, did they have the bunk bed in the old house?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what I would do is I would, our second, I would lay in their mattress until they fell asleep. And then I'd hold hands with the oldest until mm-hmm. he fell asleep.
Yep.
Like that's how it, cause I couldn't climb into his.
Yep. But his bed. Sacrifice was to let the younger sibling go yep. first because yep. they have a harder time. And
but it's all in the same room.
Yep. Yep. So we are with our kids until they fall asleep. So even now I take the youngest and you're in the room with the big four mm-hmm. Until they fall asleep.
And it's, truthfully, I don't think they need me. As we're talking, I'm like, they don't need me to do it. Cause like they, mm-hmm. on the days that like one of us is putting all of them to sleep, like they just have to go mm-hmm. to sleep.
Yes.
But that's only recently though, because the 5-year-old was still needing mm-hmm. just somebody there.
Yeah. And that's just something yeah. we've done because we felt like that intimate connection with them is helpful for them to calm themselves and go to sleep.
We talk before bed.
We talk.
We wrestle. We do jiu-jitsu before bed.
That
too. Even though they just had jiu-jitsu class for an hour, they still decide yeah. to wrestle right before bed.
It's just a good time.
Monica hates it. Because it's riling everybody, but it doesn't rile anybody.
No, it doesn't.
That's such a fib.
I just know that
myth.
50% of the time, someone cries for a few minutes,
and then I get over it, so it's fine.
That's it. So, all right. So that was
our definitely hit his head because of him pulling back.
Oh yes, he did the other day.
And trying to take my back.
So that's another thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I still lay with the youngest as he goes to sleep for a nap, mm-hmm. and I sneak out.
Oh, you know what's the thing is interesting is our rule for bullies.
What's our rule for bullies? Number 5?
I guess. It could be 5. But do you think that's an interesting thing? I think that's an interesting anecdote to share.
Go for it. Number 5.
So this started – when did Colby first have to deal with the bully?
He was like 5.
At
that birthday party?
Mm-hmm. We know. It was like – that was a very traumatic moment as a parent because I was like, we didn't
round exercise ball?
Yeah. We didn't know we had to deal with that. So I think he was 4 though. I feel like he was younger because I think
before there were 3 kids. We had 3 kids.
So we were at a birthday party and Colby was 4 and another little boy who's 5 was like following him around and like pushing him on the ground and hitting him with things.
Yeah.
And
like very intentionally picking
on him
to be the one to
bother. And then, and like grabbed an exercise ball and like just kept pummeling Colby with it. So like, and it was weird because I didn't know how to address it because like,
we also didn't know the parents.
I didn't know who the parents were.
We weren't friends with them, had ever spent
any
time with
them.
And then
once we see us, it was a mom. So like, I didn't want to address it. And then you were codependent at the time. So you weren't going to address it. So then like, I kept trying to tell Colby, like, don't let him do that. And he had no box of like,
what does that mean? How do I not let them do that?
Yep. So then we would have to role play a lot, mm-hmm. like with him, especially like, all right, I'm going to be a kid who's going to bother you. This is how you're going to react. And it'd be like, I don't remember exactly. Like sometimes it would be like, if I say a thing you don't like, this is how you respond. If a person hits you, this is how you respond. And now the rule is as understood in the house is that like, if somebody does hit you, use your words and you tell them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very clear that you want them to stop.
Blank.
Like, stop hitting me. Stop pushing me. And if a person doesn't stop after you've clearly told them that they need to stop, you have to make them stop. That does not mean you hit them. You mm-hmm. do whatever you have to do to make them stop and mm-hmm. then you go get a grown up.
Mm-hmm.
That might mean that, like, if they're punching you in the face, you have to stop them from punching you. You have to push them away. Like, obviously, they do jiu-jitsu, so, like, that could turn into whatever. But, like, they first have to clearly say it with their words,
mm-hmm.
and then they can use their bodies to make the person stop, and then they can come to a grown-up to make them stop, to tell them what happened so they can continue to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been understood well. And, like, our kids, like, they don't get into fights or anything. Like, they're not very – like, they're very like, – and, I like, just saying this, I think the fear is, like, oh, then my kid's going to get into fights all the time. Like, not really. Like, they're more – at least for our kids, like, they're more aware of – like what their boundaries are as people.
Yes.
Like when I don't like something, I can say,
I have the permission
to say, stop doing that.
Yes.
And then feel like, okay. And if something escalates, like I have the permission to make a thing stop happening.
Yes.
And then I can go find my mommy and daddy.
And I really believe that between the role playing and giving them permission to take things to like to the next level, they have so much more confidence in that first, like, I like, stop hitting me or stop bothering, like whatever the clear phrase is, that they say that in such a way that, like, I mean, I've witnessed them tell kids to stop doing certain things to them, and they do. And I don't know if it's because of they're not, like, they actually stood up to them with their words or what have you, but mm-hmm. they just carry themselves in a way that I think that they have more confidence in that first
mm-hmm. stage. And that's, and I think that's as you're, like, you're little, like 3, 4, 5. Cause then we went to the party. We saw those people again, like 2 mm-hmm. years later. And then Colby handled himself very differently. Like mm-hmm. the same little boy was like getting involved. And like Colby was very, it was cute because he was trying to take care of his little brother. And he was very like, no, I don't want to play with you because you're yes. like, you're, I don't like the way, it's more that's like, I don't like the way you're playing.
Yeah.
I don't want to play this way.
Yes.
Sorry. That was more of the phrasing that they've learned to use. Like if a person's playing a way you don't like, you can remove yourself.
Yes. By saying, don't like this game. I don't like want to play this game. Nope,
I want to play something else. And then mm-hmm. just go play something else. But now as they're getting older now, so like we have an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, like they have to be more nuanced about the way they do it. So like, you can't mm-hmm. just, cause like, you can't just be like, I didn't like that. And then just freak out about it. So like, or if like a group is targeting somebody, mm-hmm. like telling them like, well, what do you do? Cause like, I know I want all of our kids to be the type of kids that if they're in a situation and somebody is being bullied or somebody is being targeted, they can identify that and make it stop, mm-hmm. whether it be by switching, like changing the group's dynamic by saying, hey, let's not do that anymore. Or by specifically standing up with that person, be like, all right, you and me are leaving because this is it. Okay. But like they have to learn, like you have to learn to recognize those things. Like you can't just expect a kid to do the right thing and be courageous. Like they don't have the ability, like adults don't have the ability to do that. So like they have to be able to recognize that. So there's a lot of role playing we still do with the kids of if you see blank happen, how do you react? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe I say this and like, no, okay, this is what you would
let's
say.
Practice
this. And so we are still doing that in preparing them for social situations that they're most likely going to encounter mm-hmm. so that they're not, so like they're not going to address it perfectly, like none of us will, but at least they have some sort of box to pull from of like, oh, maybe I say this, maybe mm-hmm. I do this, and none of it's ever violence. Usually it's like they how to maneuver something socially.
Mm-hmm. You've even role played like how to turn around somebody teasing you into you make it a joke about yourself.
Yes, so you're I just start berating them until they figure out what to do.
Teaching them how to be slightly self-deprecating so mm-hmm. that they
some of our kids, it comes very naturally and others don't.
Yes.
So it's funny, like the ones that it doesn't come naturally to, I'm like, okay,
let's practice.
When they say this, you say this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't help that they think I'm hilarious, I just think it's an important skill to train your kids up in so that they're able to enter different social situations and be effective and make positive change if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and like that started from 4.
Agree.
Yeah. That's number 5.
That was number 5. All right, number 6.
I said that one.
Okay. What do we do? What else do we do all the time?
I don't know. There's a lot.
There's a lot.
There. Oh.
Say it. Go for it.
So weird.
Just keep going.
So weird. We're so weird.
We are. What do we do?
We make sure they get a lot of protein in their diet.
That is true. That is true. Every meal is planned around what protein are we having? Yes. Yep.
That's it.
Our kids never just eat noodles for a meal. Like there's always something else. Yep.
People think this is a slight tangent. People think I'm crazy with the diet stuff that like the things I eat and how I eat. Let's call that this weekend. I was looked at and laughed at. I wonder if she probably doesn't listen to this.
I don't think I don't know if she
a friend came over, watched me eat. And said she can't handle this anymore and said she had to leave. But it's just funny, like the way that people traditionally eat, I think, skews a certain way in the American diet. And I think that we've made it a point to make sure that our kids are eating a little differently. Like this, we're not organic, crunchy people at all.
No.
I just had like 10 Twizzlers before this.
Can't handle it.
No, I love Twizzlers. No, but like I think it's important to, for the kids to have protein, considering how much sports they do. They like kids don't need to have a significant amount because there's charts that I've looked at when I studied this more. But like they can convert a lot of carbs into what their body needs to build muscle and everything. So like they don't necessarily need as much protein as an adult does. But I think it's important that they have it in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. So every meal that they have has some obvious source of protein. That is true. That was number six.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven. We always buy them new Halloween costumes every
always.
Year.
Oh, and we celebrate Halloween.
Yes. And our kids don't dress up like saints for Halloween. They dress up like characters.
Yes.
So.
But saints are superheroes. Okay. Relax. They're also kids.
Yep.
Sorry. Yep. Sorry.
They love Saints Alive and believe everything they hear on that podcast.
They're all named after saints and they love saints.
That's true. Yes. So.
They're also kids.
Yes. They are also kids. So I grew up with the. Let's find stuff in our closets or make our costumes, or like if you put this and this together, you can look like XYZ. I don't know. And my mom always made me wear my puffy winter jacket over my, whatever costume we had, or I borrowed, or got a hand-me-down from. So you couldn't even tell if I was a character.
Your wounds are showing.
My wounds are really showing. So I promise that was one of our
agreements
before we got married. Yeah. Was we would always buy our children.
It's getting expensive. I regret everything.
So it's part of our budget.
Yeah.
We make it happen.
Who needs retirement? We have the great costume.
Whatever. We have a really that's also a perk though. Our kids play in costumes a lot, so it's not just for one day.
No, right. And they play dress up, but they become the different characters, and they're dragons or this or that, and they play in the costume still.
Yes.
No, I really like that we do that because it allows them to, I don't know. Again, we were talking about yesterday about the difference between when our kid hit double digits and when I did. I was the ghost face, the scream killer mm-hmm. for Scream. I was that in fourth grade. So that's in the same same age. I saw those. I watched those movies. I thought that's so bad. Thanks, Mom. we bought my costumes when I was a kid. It was just very different.
Yeah.
And I like that we stuck with it, and the kids like their costumes. And
yes. So that was number six. That's number six.
What was that? Oh, number seven. This is number seven?
Yeah.
We did not do Santa Claus.
That's true. Another holiday ever.
At all.
Santa's never come to our
house. And our kids haven't spoiled it for anybody.
They all know he doesn't exist.
Yes. And
it's not we just never did it and they think, I don't know, whatever the case may be.
It's also that they don't have any joy during Christmas. They love Christmas. All we do as soon as December 1st hits is they're only allowed. No, it's after Thanksgiving. They can only watch Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else allowed to be watched.
Christmas music.
And Advent wreath and Advent stuff too.
But ton of Santa movies. Mm-hmm. The Santa Claus is one of their favorite movies.
Yes. And reindeer and all the things. Mm-hmm. They love all that stuff. But they know it's not true
mm-hmm.
and they've known there it's not true. And it's not that we spoiled it for them. So the way we introduced this is a good thing to explain. So the way we did it is that once the oldest turned three. So we never did presents from Santa. So we never had
under the tree was always from mom and dad and siblings.
So our family works is that we go to our Hispanic families usually they open presents on Christmas Eve. So we go and do that for Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, we open our own presents at home. And usually those would be what traditionally has the Santa presents. So there just never was presents from Santa at home. And then as our kids got older, they started, I don't know if they ever asked, but they just assumed that, oh no, there's no presents from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's because he's not real. But we never said that, but mm-hmm. they just kind of put it together.
It just became an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
and then eventually when the question came though of mm-hmm. is Santa real? We explained to them he's not real. Mm-hmm. So we didn't lead with it hey, just so you know, kid. They came to ask us and we answered them. And then it became your friends don't know that.
Yep.
And it is not up to you to tell them. It's their mommy and daddy's. It's whenever their mommy and daddy are ready to tell them that they'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And our kids are super reasonable.
Yes.
And have not spoiled it.
Yes. So that's, that's one of our phrases for not just Santa, but if a family does something differently than our family, that's up to their mommies and daddies how their family does things, but the Ortega family does this. And mm-hmm. so, for example, the Ortega family just has Christmas presents come from mommy and daddy, and then they all shop for one another. So mm-hmm. Sometimes they use their own money, but we always give them money to go to the dollar store, and they can go and buy, like, so they have four siblings and they have mommy and daddy, so they can all get $6 and they shop for every person in the house. Sometimes they use their own money to get them somebody else something better, but so that's just, and it's funny, like, I remember when John Paul and Colby were trying not to spoil it for Gianna, because mm-hmm. we were also like, don't tell her.
Three?
I think she was like three. So we're like, you can't tell her. Mommy and daddy will tell her when we know it's the right time. And she like overheard something. She's like, Santa's not real. None of that makes sense. Like, yeah. It was really, okay.
Maybe
well, I guess
four.
She's known to.
She was four.
I don't know. She's pretty, a lot of, right, she like, was pretty sassy.
Can you imagine Ben saying that? No.
No,
he doesn't have that vocabulary.
Okay, but he'll be older when it's Christmas.
That knows
time.
To make sense.
Okay. Me no need turn three. So yeah. So
but like, yeah, she just didn't know. And then Thomas, the same thing. He's just like, I don't know.
And we role played what do you do when people ask you about Santa? So a very common question is, what did you ask Santa for Christmas? People at the grocery store will ask your children what they asked Santa for Christmas, or the neighbors or whatever. And so we've role played. What I would like for Christmas is blank. Mm-hmm. So they didn't lie. They didn't say that there's no Santa. And same thing, like, what did you, it, for like, we practiced.
What did you get from Santa?
Yeah.
What I got from Christmas was.
Exactly. Like blank. Going to school. What did you get from Santa? For Christmas, I got blank.
We even had, we had youth group kids. We had youth group kids come over and. Like, the kids wouldn't know what's coming, but we like ask them what they asked for Santa for. And they would do that, and the kids would all have like their thing memorized. And, like, it was really funny. And then like our friends, the kids would look at us like, why'd you have me do that? And then be like, they don't believe in Santa. Like, what?
Like, didn't know.
Yeah.
They're so, good actors.
But like, no. And yes. So I think it's that kind of stuff, I think, is important, especially like knowing that families do things differently, because, mm-hmm. Like, even they're not like understanding political things yet. But I forgot what it was that I said, like, there's people out there that believe differently than us, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be aware of that. Cause I think they were talking about like president and like elections and stuff. And I was just like, I don't know why you guys are talking about this.
Because they have a placemat now that has the presidents, and they say like Republican, Democrat. Like, they give the political parties all the way back to George Washington.
So then explain to them, like, there's differences, and that's not up to you to discuss with other people. That's not up to you to discuss with people's mommies and daddies or to other kids. Like, it's up to their mommies and daddies to tell the kids about it. But, like, all of that is, like, the way we've handled this situation and the bullying has allowed for those kind of conversations to seem more normal of, mm-hmm. like, less role play what happens when somebody asks you about this. Mm-hmm. And they don't get. They're not bothered by it. They don't think it's weird. They're just like, okay, I'm learning a new thing and learning a new skill. Mm-hmm. So that's been helpful.
Yeah.
What else?
Agreed.
That's seven.
That was seven. All right. Number eight.
Weird things that we do with our kids is the way this is turning.
Yes. Number eight. I don't know if it's, I was going to say something about how we pray, but that's not weird.
Nope. We do it.
No.
Oh, whenever it's sunny, we just kick the kids outside and we say, get out of the house.
Yes.
And don't come back.
Yep. It's beautiful out. Go outside. That's it.
That's it.
Yep. We try.
Well, mixed with that, we don't have screen time limits in terms of TV. Mm-hmm. So like they wake up really early. Super early.
Our children are morning people. Yes.
So they'll watch TV probably for like a good couple hours of just TV.
Yeah. Like an hour and a half. They wake up really early.
Yep. And then towards the end of the day, like we always have a ritual of like watching a show together. Mm-hmm. But then outside of that, it's, if it's nice out, go outside. If it's not nice out, go play in the basement.
Yep.
And
like, that they can't really argue that. And I try when it's like days like now, it's really, we're in New England, so we're in like fake spring right now. It'll get cold again and we'll have another week or two of winter and then it'll be real spring. But right now it's fake spring. So it was almost 60 degrees today. and the snow is melting, so it's super muddy. So the only thing I sometimes try to do is change their clothes before they go outside so that I don't care how muddy they get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. But they know that they really don't get to argue about it. Like if we say go outside or if we say go downstairs, it's like free for all time play.
Mm-hmm. And that's all of them have to go out.
Yeah.
Like no one's allowed to stay and like, can I go do this? Like, no, all of you are out of the house.
Yep.
In the backyard. Don't go to the front yard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is true. So we do a lot of just like creative play, free play. Don't tell them like how to play. Just mm-hmm. go figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good thing. We don't play games with them. Like we are not their source of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say I'm bored, we say, good, go find something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very consistent with all of them. Like yes. we're sticking back to our following through. Like we've wanted them to learn to play independently with like independent play amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that they were like, daddy, I'm bored, mommy, I'm bored, we'd say,
yes.
go find something to do.
Yes.
And like, we're not going to turn TV on. We're not going to start playing a game with you.
Yes.
That doesn't mean I don't play with my kids. Like typically yes. when I play with my kids, it's like I insert into their game. I'm
yes.
like, all right, I'm playing with
they
you.
They have figured it out and he, yeah. And you go in. But we think it's really important for them to like, yeah, to be okay being bored because the things that they come up with is way better
mm-hmm.
than if we were suggesting like, oh, go play, I don't know, go play Simon Says. Like, no, just go and play together, figure it out.
And not to sound rude, it's sometimes like, go away.
Yeah.
Go find something to do. Like, yeah. don't, you're like, you're purposely trying to get me to come up with something because you're poking until I say, yeah. okay, go do this. Like, no, you can leave. Go outside. Yeah. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. And we don't have a lot of like electronic toys. We have like RC cars. That's about it for like things that need batteries and stuff. So it's a lot of like blocks, magnetiles, dinosaurs, cars, like things that they have to like come up with what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if yep. they're inside, they have that stuff. They have balls and rocks and sticks outside and mud. So they have that and soccer goals and a soccer
ball. They have a lot of like bats and stuff outside too. Yeah. Like they were playing cricket today.
Fake cricket
because they saw it on Bluey. They're yeah. like, oh, we're going to play cricket. Like, okay. So that means they're just going to yeah. hit things at the house.
Yeah. We do play actual games with our kids too. Like we play cards and you'll do Pokemon battles and we'll play Rummy Cube and
they've
stuff
really
like that.
Been into just wrestling yes. lately. So like anytime they want to play with me, it means they just want to wrestle.
But we do like family game time, but that's not in like in lieu of their free creative just go be children time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Just go outside. I'm not as quick on my
feet. We have video games.
We do have video games,
but we don't let them play it
regularly.
Barely ever.
Yeah. When grandma watches well,
like,
them.
And actually we're very aware of like the things that they can get obsessed with. So like, mm-hmm. for example, Monica mentioned Pokemon cards, which like there's been times where we're like, you're not touching this for 2 months because that's all yes. you're doing.
Maybe that should be the number 9. We are very aware of when our kids start getting obsessed with things and we make them stop.
Yes.
So that could be video games because we have them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're allowed to play them, but if they start getting obsessive and that's all they ask to do, or they're zoning out, or they're being rude and ignoring people or not including people, then mm-hmm. they lose it. And the same goes for anything. So Pokemon cards, they got really into that for a while and they just lost them for 2 months. Arts and crafts, like yes. if they are just like obsessed and making huge messes and never cleaning it up and like, not really actually like making anything out of it, but just like obsessed with glue and scissors, then they don't get to like, you have to
be, I guess, aware be respectful of the thing you're doing. And like, yeah, I don't know how we've worded it of like, I've said to them, you can't be obsessed about this.
Yep.
And they've like, what's obsessed? And like when that's the only thing you're doing, you're ignoring everything.
And the
else.
Only thing you think about is this thing, mm-hmm. then that's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're pretty harsh on that, but I would say that's number 9. They can't be obsessed with.
What's other things that we've taken away?
Even
like
if
TV,
they,
we've taken
TV.
Away certain TV
or,
shows. Or
yeah.
Like,
because that's all they want to watch. So they'll just keep asking to watch that same TV show and then they lose it because mm-hmm. no, there's other good TV shows out there. So just like trying to teach them temperance and like snacks, like you cannot have 5 Z bars in one day. You cannot have 5 Rice Krispies. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't mm-hmm. be obsessed with a certain snack or dessert or I don't know, like Gianna would eat oatmeal 3 meals a day, five. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the time.
5 days a week.
5 days a week is almost what I said. It's really tired. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, that's number 9. Can't be obsessed. Mm. Hyper-focused. Fixate.
Yeah.
Number 10 has to be a good one.
Oh, well, okay. Number 10. This is something. So like, I don't know who this episode's for. This is for all of you. Number 10 is that every single kid is extremely unique. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we are still fascinated by. Like they're yes. so unique. They're such a mix of the two of us.
Yes.
And different amounts in different areas of life.
Yes.
Like it's just it. And, yep. and it's not something you can engineer and you can't like all the things we just said and talked about, like we're working on, but like every single kid we have to work on it differently with yes. them.
So like the way we implement these things, the way we talk about these things, the way the kid responds to these things has been different across mm-hmm. the board. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like, that's challenging for us, but it also is like really, really good that your style like doesn't work all the time.
Yep.
Like that you have to, as a parent, adapt. You can have the same expectations. What are we, I forget the way we phrased it to the kids, but like the expectations are the same, but we might change how they get to those expectations. Mm-hmm. So the expectation is you can't be obsessed with certain things, but it might be like the time frame of losing something, or we might like work on temperance in a different way. Like, let's practice. You're going to have some warnings, or mm-hmm. just different things like that. But yeah, so we've definitely like implemented them differently, spoken about them differently, loved them through the hard part of accepting that this is how mommy and daddy mm-hmm. are going to do things differently. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is advice that I think can these things I think work for 9 years and down. I have no idea it's going to work for a 10-year-old and over, because we just entered that, that area of our life or stage of our life. Mm-hmm. But it definitely has been helpful for us in the last 10 years with our oldest. And then the other ones are
yeah,
like following suit
yes.
really well.
And I guess we feel like we can only say the things that we have done times 5 now. So like mm-hmm. all of these things, our youngest is 3. So we've done it times 5. They all have those things. Like we've implemented all these things. And again, the way we've gone about it might have been differently, but the expectations have been the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's more things that I'm sure we can keep talking about this and keep coming up with more things. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things I want to know from you is that, do you want more of these kind of parenting type episodes where we can talk about different things that we've done? We could go into more details. We could be more specific. Mm-hmm.
But we have some kids that are neurodivergent. We have some
different so many temperaments, things I feel different about those
personalities,
kinds of things coming out. There's just so much research that's coming out that makes me feel so many different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So let us know if you want more of this stuff, but we also don't want to make this a parenting heavy place.
This is to become family though. So like,
true.
This is the family part of it. This is
part of it. But yeah, also,
this is our evolution. I'm getting older. I hit puberty.
Now we've been a parent for 10 years.
So. A single parent for 10 years. Yes.
A parenting unit.
Is that what you said?
No.
Okay. Yeah. But thank you for being here. And I hope you got something from this. Please let us know in the comments. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify or wherever you hear your podcasts, connect with us on Instagram. Let us know what you're thinking. Leave us a 5-star review. That always goes a long way. And we will see you at the next episode.